everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fulfillment in Faith in the series, You Are Not the Only One, which is my passion project. My lovely guest today, her name is Jacquina Giovanni. Now, is that not the coolest name ever? And I said it right. I said it right first time. Usually I stumble and then I crack a joke or make fun of myself, but I said it right this time. So, Jacquina, welcome to Fulfillment in Faith. How are you?
I'm doing great, Shannon. How are you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing wonderful. I went for a beautiful walk outside. The fall leaves are falling everywhere, and life is really good for me right now, so I can't complain. How are you?
I am doing amazing. I am in agreement with you for the fall weather. And today we're in the high 70s. So the sun is shining and I got a chance to just be out because I've been in the house for the past couple of days. So it's been really, really good.
Perfect. Perfect. So we're going to go right into this interview. What I would like you to do is I would like you to tell the audience member, you know, where you're from, a little bit about yourself. And then after you're done that, if you just want to go into your story, because this is a wow, a wow story. So yeah, there's a lot here. So go right ahead. You've got the apple box.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. I feel empowered.
There you go, girl.
I appreciate you so much, Shannon. One for you even taking it up on yourself to fulfill your passion and to do what a lot of people don't necessarily venture in. We get stuck. And so for you to be able to put people on this platform and fulfill your passion is excellent to me. And so hello, everyone. Again, I am Jacquina Giovanni. I am based in Nashville, Tennessee. Been here for about, over 15 years. And I really like Nashville, beautiful place to be and grow. And so a little about myself, I am, a creator. I am an empowerer of people, a mother of four beautiful children ranging from 29 to 3 years old. I have a magnificent partner who loves me unconditionally, and that means so much. And I am really just a person that is focused on, again, empowerment of others to not be stuck. And as you hear my story, you'll kind of see why that's a part of my passion. So that's a little bit about me, Shannon.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? Like you are such a absolutely kind-hearted and sweet person. It just shows through. Yeah. And people are going to hear it throughout this interview. Absolutely. So yeah. So let's get going into your story, my dear.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So I will, you know how we always kind of start from the beginning in order to be able to see the journey and where we're going, where I've gone. And so a big part, when I think about just breaking up the first part of my life, a big part and a significant part from the time that I was in my mother's stomach, until about 21 years of age was God, 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 God. It was a very religious upbringing. My mother was a missionary. My grandfather was a bishop. He was very, I'll just be honest, strict. We had a lot of religion preached, but not as much love shown. And when I think about my childhood, I'm very one appreciative the influence of God that it had on my life, because I know that that was a big factor in me being able to make it through the struggles that I endured. And I'm a big spiritual person, but at times I find myself, based on my upbringing, shying away from religion. When I grew up, you could not wear pants. You couldn't go to dances, very limited TV. Movies was not a good thing. And I think about in gym class, and you know, you're supposed to dress down and put on your shorts. We couldn't wear shorts. And so we had to wear like little shorts under our skirts. And so when you think about that, that's already for me drawing attention to myself. So early on, there was a lot of being picked on and bullied. And I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and I stayed there until I was about 21 years of age. And so you think about growing up in a very religious household. Then growing up in Portland, Oregon, I don't know, for those that you can see me.
They'll see you. They will.
Yes, see you're going to see.
They will see you. The video will be shown on YouTube. Yes.
That me in Portland, Oregon, especially back 40 years ago, was a lot because I stood out so much. So in elementary school, maybe we had 25 Black kids that were there. And so when you think about the different classrooms, I was always searching to fit in throughout elementary school, middle school, and into high school. I was picked on and bullied so much. And there were times where I didn't want to go to school because I was just afraid of being talked about, being called, "You tar baby, you're ugly, you don't deserve to be here." And then you have this very religious household. And I was the youngest of three children. And some people call me a little spoiled, a little, but I think it just had to do with insecurities, because I very much clung to my mother during a lot. I laid in the bed with her up until her passing. Like, she was just my everything. But when you have this strict upbringing, you don't feel like you fit in. I can definitely say that it impacted my whole upbringing. And one of the things for me that I'm so thankful for is the people that I know the divine creator planted in my life, just certain people, whether I would go to church or it was a teacher, but I would just have people few and far between that look at me and they would say, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful. Oh my goodness, you're going to accomplish great things." And when I wanted to lay in my bed and cry, I would hold on to those words of encouragement to get me through when someone was coming from behind me and beating me in my head at school, or all the particular things that I experienced. And I started off with mentioning just God, God, God in religion. And so for me growing up, it was heaven and hell. And if you didn't follow all of these rules, you were going to hell. If you smoked a cigarette, if you wore lipstick, you couldn't wear fingernail polish, you couldn't do anything. Like, we were literally in church 7 days a week. On Sunday, we were there from, about 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. Like, it was an all-day thing. And that's all I knew. So it prevented me from like going to different activities at school, playing sports, like doing different things, because we were so consumed by church. On the flip side, I'm appreciative of it because I got to speak in church service. I got to sing in the choir and do, and my grandfather was very big on traveling the United States. And so every single summer, we would ride around the United States and go to different churches. So we got to see, we drove from Oregon to New York one summer, and we got to travel and see the world. So that started my passion for wanting to experience the world based on that. But I remember, Shannon, one day I went to my mom and I said, "Mom, how can we say that God loves us so much, but then if we do any little thing, we're going to burn in hell and fall in this bottomless pit for all of eternity?" And she and my mom said, basically, don't question it. Like, you need to just not worry about that. If you just do what you're supposed to do, it'll all fall into place. But it never sat with me. It never sat well within my spirit that. And I wanted to think about, you know, where is the love? How it didn't add up. And so that kind of led me to pieces of where I am today when I mentioned spirituality and the connection with the divine, but shied away from the religion piece. I know that there's something bigger than me, and it is a force of love. And we have to be able to focus in on that. And so for me, having this religious background, a very prominent church and big family, like, I couldn't do anything without anyone finding out what I did. But in my life, there was also, I was very much exposed to inappropriate sexual behavior. And when I was younger,
see, that this is where this totally blows me away. There is such contrast here. Like, you the audience members are going to hear this. It just blows me away. I got shivers actually at how much it blows me away. Yeah.
So you think about, Shannon, and it got me a little emotional thinking about it, because when you're in this highly religious environment, but there was so much, and I promise you, I don't mean any disrespect to my family. I'm not trying to expose things or anything like that, but it was a contradiction. So I'll start off by saying several of my uncles had inappropriate sexual encounters and with children. Yeah. With people that they were not supposed to. And I remember my mother bringing it to my attention to basically ask me, had I been exposed to that from this particular group?
And what bothers me the most is this, number one, the sickness of this. And number two is them hiding behind this so-called religion. That's what is sickening.
I agree.
And you know, putting the fear of God in everybody, that is just sickening.
It is. And it's like, I'm learning now with my age to, one, be able to extend grace, to understand that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. The only thing was that there was so much behind the scenes that was going on. But there was still this praising of God, which God loves us. You know, we can praise him. We were supposed to go through those pieces. But just to see the hurt, just to see the anger, just to see the chaos, in a sense. And then, mind you, I'm a small person that doesn't necessarily know how to process or interpret. And so for me, having been a part of, not with the group that I mentioned earlier, but early on, I was exposed again to inappropriate sexual behavior by a person that was my caretaker, that watched me while my mother was at work. And gosh, this will be just kind of unfiltered in a sense, but I feel like for me, with my life and sex, like, that experience, and it was with a woman that had that, that experience, I feel like changed me and kind of put me to where I am right now. But it wasn't, Shannon, though, it wasn't like a mean experience. If, gosh, this is so weird to try to describe it, because I wasn't like in fear. And when I think about it, like back then, I know it one shouldn't have happened, but it was, I don't want to say enjoyable. I really don't know how to describe it. But basically, there was inappropriate interactions that caused me to jump into sexual acts very early. And when I think about losing my virginity at a very young age, gosh, when I think about getting pregnant with my son at the age of 15, and 2 weeks after I turned 16, I was given birth. And so that's kind of the summary. So just thinking about the contrast. So you have this love of God, but then you have the not so godly behaviors that were taking place. And it's so eye-opening to me, because last night I was doing shadow work, and you really have to pinpoint those childhood experiences and those childhood traumas in order to see how this made a mark. And when I think about what I wrote, was feeling silenced as a child. And when I went to try to explain, like, hey, this is happening, it wasn't a question of, well, how did it happen? When did it start? Are you okay? It was more so, well, why did she let this happen? Why would you do this? And when people would see me acting out, it was just, oh, you're fast. Oh, you're just doing too much for your age, and you need to sit yourself down. And, but it was no digging to see, where was the hurt coming from? Why is she acting like this? It was just, you're you, and we're going to just chalk it up. Now, mind you, Shannon, I don't want, because I know this is going to be aired, and I'm not trying to hurt anyone, but this was my experience. This was, people can have their own interpretation of how they want to take it, but this was my experience. I felt like I was silenced. So not feeling accepted, not feeling heard, not feeling seen, and feeling like I have to hide my experiences because no one really cares. But some people did, like my, you know, different things, but we just had conflicts. I really think that many members in my family growing up were just acting out of their own hurt. They were acting out of their own uncertainties and insecurities, but it had a very drastic, negative, horrible impact on those that they hurt and that they expose to their hurts. But I'm just learning now to be able to kind of extend that compassion, to understand that I think it's really kind of about forgiveness too. But I'm going to pause. What are you hearing so far, Shannon?
No, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, you know, you're talking about your experience, but yet at the same time, you know, you are feeling guilty for speaking your truth is what I'm hearing. But you know what? I know from my own experience of how I have started to reveal who I am, what my upbringing, stuff like that is. Jakina, what you need to understand is your journey is all about you.
Yes.
About your feelings, thoughts, and emotions. And it doesn't matter what other people think, because where you are being led to is the greatest version of yourself. And that's what I want you to understand.
Yes.
You are an amazing, wonderful, loving individual. You've learned from your experiences. Now, what you're doing is you are speaking your truth. You cannot have control what other people think, mm-hmm. ever. That's not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you do, or what you say, or how you live your life, we are human, and you will be judged no matter what. I've learned that firsthand.
Yes. So
am I going to do, just like what you are going to do, is you are going to live in your purpose and your love and all of that. And that's the journey that you need to go on. And those others that perhaps are, you're worried about, might their feelings might be hurt or whatever, that's their journey.
That's
what they need to take from listening to, if when they listen to this podcast, if there's something that triggers them.
Yes.
That's something they have to deal with. It's not you. That's inside them. And then maybe that if that trigger comes up, that'll be a sign to them. This is where I need to heal that part of me. So I no longer have that embarrassment or that shame or that fear or that anger. So they could be looking at you and being like, oh my God, Jacquina is speaking her truth and look where she is. I want to be on that journey too. And that goes for anybody that's listening to this podcast.
Anyone people that's
that
listening.
Know me, people that yes. know me are from whatever. This is what's coming from all of this. And this could very well be the purpose of your particular podcast or your interview or whatever, because we do not know what the ripple effect is. Because people that are going to listen to this particular podcast, I do not believe in coincidences. They are brought here for a particular reason. So listen to what the divine is telling you right now at this moment. That is what I hear coming out of you, Jacquina. Yes. You asked me and I told you. So
yes. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Yep, you're welcome.
And for the listeners and, you know, thinking about you, Shannon, initially I thought it was like, you know, easy to be able to just tell that story, but I do want to inspire and I don't want people to necessarily have to experience the same thing that I experienced. And when you're exposed to sex at such a young age, at like 7 and younger, and going up, and you think about for 5 years, sex was kind of everything. I remember some slumber parties that I would have with my cousins, and it was sexual acts being had. But then later I found out that we were all being exposed to sex.
Yeah.
And why we wanted to have it together. But you think about this all being under the roof of the church, per se. And when I think about getting pregnant with my son, and there were about 6 or 7 of us that all gave birth, 6 or 7 young women in the church that all gave birth within 2 or 3 months of each other. Like, we all went out and got pregnant.
Yeah. And what people really need to understand here is, yes, what took place with you, total illegal, totally wrong. You know, it was incest, you know, and it was all protected by the church. Right. But that was your normal. That was your normal. You didn't know any better. Right. You were exposed to something which was your normal. That's no different than me being brought up in a house of mine wasn't sex, right? But mine was addiction. Mine was abuse. You know, all of that, that was my normal. So you wouldn't have really known any better until you would have got older and you would have been exposed to contrast.
Okay.
Right? That's what contrast is for, right? Universal law of rhythm, right? Yeah. Contrast. When did that contrast happen for you, Jacquina, where you knew that, wow, like this is so not normal?
I would say when I got into my teenage years around 18, I would even say even before then, but I just knew that there was something bigger, per se, that this isn't the normal. This isn't the life that I want to live and that I want to be involved in. And I actually ended up leaving. I knew that I couldn't stay in Oregon. I knew that it wasn't going to be, and there's nothing wrong with Oregon. I just knew it wasn't for me, that I had to uproot and find out greater. And I feel like sometimes we have to be moved out of our environment in order to be able to see that there is different, that there is more. And even though I experienced those things that I experienced, a really big awakening was giving birth to my son as well. And it made me open up my eyes and be able to see that you are destined for more, that it's no longer just about me. I have a whole little human that I've been given the responsibility of raising and providing a good foundation and instilling in him love and not being exposed to the things that I've been exposed to.
You had to change your life totally and completely. Progress. If you want to, have progression in life, you have to change.
Yes.
That's what people don't understand. They want to change, but yet they stay in their same environment and they hang out with the same people. Well, that's not going to happen, because what will eventually happen is you will change for a little bit, but then you know what? You're going to be drawn back.
Go back.
You're going to be drawn back. And that's just how it is. That's why my life totally is completely changed.
Yes.
There's no more from my past in my life anymore. That's like you. That's why you had to move, right?
I had to separate. Progression.
Change. That's
change. And I think that is the biggest piece of it. Us having enough gumption about ourselves, us having enough realization to say, this is not how my life will continue to be. And I am so thankful for resilience. I am thankful for love. I'm thankful for those people that were placed strategically in my life in order to give me that extra push to know that I can and will have better. So I left. I ended up going and visiting Atlanta. I met a gentleman, got married very quickly, uprooted my son. I was married at around 21, and I uprooted my son and we moved. And I just decided that I wanted more, that I wanted to get to know more about the loving part of the divine creation and not the strict rule. I started understanding different dynamics of life. And I think that was like my journey, my exposure, that I didn't have to give my body. Because when I tell you promiscuity and giving of myself physically, it was like second nature, in a sense, because that's what I had just been accustomed to. And I'm so thankful for the relationship that I'm in now, because there was no necessarily giving of my physical body. It was a giving of me, peeling back the layers, the exposure to saying, this is who I am and love me as I am. And so that was something that was just so profound for me, just understanding that I can and will have more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a summary of it all. I know some things were kind of condensed in a sense, but those were just really big, significant pieces of my life. And then dealing with the death of my mother, my brother, and getting a divorce within a year.
Yeah.
Each other. And those were some very traumatic experiences dealing with those particular losses. And it had me at one time, Shannon, feeling like I didn't want to live.
Right.
And I told God, I said, I don't want to live. I'm tired of this. You've taken core people that were a big part of my support and that I loved dearly. And, but in that moment that I said I didn't want to live, there was a push to say, yes, there's still purpose for you. And if you continue going, if you tell your story, if you figure out what your passion is and, you know, just stay connected to me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And I can definitely say that I have been given the desires of my heart, that right now I'm at a point where I truly enjoy life. I am so grateful and so thankful for every single moment and every single experience, because I've been given the things and the people, and not even so much things, but just a peace of mind to know that just because I had those situations in my past, it doesn't define me.
And
it
no, no. So, and that's where it lies, is when you do let it define you, that's where your mental health, that's where everything goes downhill.
Let's talk about, yeah, mental health. Suffer from depression, anxiety, stress, addiction, all those particular pieces that go along when we're trying to self-soothe, because we don't want to deal with the trauma. We don't want to face that hurt. But talking to our inner child, being able to address those pieces, is how we become liberated to walk in our fullness.
I went on my walk today, and I do live videos every morning now about, you know, regarding my past and different things. And when I was on my walk today, and I'm thinking to myself, it's not the trauma that was going to kill me when I was suicidal. The trauma for me was brought into my life for a learning lesson. That's what the trauma, I believe, is brought into your life. And then, so it's not the trauma that wanted me to commit suicide. You know what it was? I truly believe is the suppression. Suppression is what causes you to cause, is to want to have mental, well, not want, but leads you to suicide. It's that suppression. And that's why I talk openly about everything now. And I want people to talk openly about everything. And of course, suppression is the bad thing. You know, that's what makes you want to numb. That makes you want to start drinking or have an addiction, whatever it is, right?
Yes.
The trauma is the learning lesson. The suppression is what kills you. Leaks out into every area in your life, right? You know, like it affected me in everywhere. It affected me with my finances, my mental health, my relationships, my weight, my health, everything.
Everything. Well, because you think about it, when we're dealing with those mental pieces, it has to manifest itself some way.
So somewhere. And that's what people don't understand.
Our body.
Understand, right? Yeah. When you suppress it, it leaks out somewhere. It will always leak out. Always. So if you find that your health is like really depleting, look at what you suppressed your entire life. You know, I didn't wake up and discover that I wanted to be healed, that I wanted to go on this journey until I was 50 years old. It took me 50 years. So why would you want to wait 50 years? Or you look at people that are 60 or 70 years old, right? You know, if you know that there's so many things that are bothering you now, there's people out there that can perhaps professional help you, or coaches like me that can help you go through the process. And I personally, you know, yes, I do believe 100% that therapists and psychologists and all of that are there for a reason. Absolutely. But now that I've gone through what I've gone through and with my therapists and stuff like that, I would pick a coach, someone like me.
Yes.
Or therapist by far. Because somebody that's gone through it like me or like you, we understand it. We've got the feeling and the emotions and all of that behind us. Where a lot of the therapists, you know, have not experienced it. And I witnessed that firsthand.
Almost,
you know, I spent a lot of money on therapy and they didn't help me at all. They just kept me stuck in my past. How do you feel?
Yes.
They would never get me past that.
The feeling.
Right? Mm-hmm. No, they never gave me tools to put in my toolbox. God, I got a whole lifetime of tools, man. Yeah.
Those particular pieces. And it's like even thinking about sitting here and, you know, still wanting in a sense to protect when that's not the case. So, I mean, those particular pieces are so important, but it's when you're actually verbalizing it, the shit becomes real. It's like, oh my God, I did experience this. I was exposed to so much sexual stuff that clouded me. And when you're not openly addressing it by the adults, like taking ownership and really saying, this is not how it's supposed to be, it scars you. Yes. And it does bring, it plants the seeds of insecurity, of uncertainty, of do I matter? And instead of me just being labeled as this slut, as this hoe, as this girl who doesn't care about herself, because those were the things that I was called. Those were hurtful experiences. But I think the biggest frustrating part for me back then, and as I reflect on it, as I've grown and being able to reflect on it, it just really makes me think about why weren't more questions asked? Why wasn't it, like I said before, being able to just address it and say that this is what's happening. These are numerous people that are hurting young people, mm-hmm. and, you know, going through that. And it had it just been addressed to be able to get us help sooner, to not just think that I'm just acting out. I think that that was one of the biggest pieces that had me stuck, that had me suppressing and turned into a lot of dumb choices were made because I couldn't break free from that. I always wanted to be kind of that people pleaser. And if I do this just right, then maybe I'll be listened to. And even thinking about adult life, not feeling like I had that voice, not feeling that I was valued, that I was worthy, but it all stemmed from those particular situations.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you know what, like how you're talking right now, those feelings of being, you know, you felt shame, you felt, you yes. know, you valued yourself, you felt ugly, all of it, right? You know, everybody has a past. We've all experienced, right? And it's so funny, you know, I see what your past is and what my past was, but the outcome is all the same. Mm-hmm. Because how you felt, I felt exactly. I was a people pleaser. I did all of that as well. And yeah, just where you are now with the acknowledgement and everything of it. Now, when you look at your, I'm going to say sexual abusers, can you look at them now? Because I look at my abuser and I do. I see where it came from, where he received it from. And of course, I've got compassion towards him and I have forgiven him and I have forgiven my mother. But of course, that doesn't mean that I want them in my life either, because you can forgive people and you can just let it go. Because forgiveness is for me. It's not for them. It's for me. Mm-hmm. How do you view your sexual abusers? Can you see that what happened with them, they probably endured it themselves?
A part of me is unsure with what made them want to interact like that with me sexually. I don't know. They may have been abused. They may have been exposed.
They may have not.
There was so much, more than likely they probably were. And because it was so many things that were going on behind the scenes, that probably was a big factor as to why. And they were maybe 5 to 10 years older than me. So they were a young.
They were quite young as well.
Themselves.
Wow. So of yes. course that was a normal for them. Which is really sad, of course.
Yes.
But my biggest question here would probably be, have you forgiven them for yourself?
I have. Yeah. I have definitely forgiven them. Still a work in progress, because you can see it was still, even like when I went to verbalize, it was like, whoa, I thought it was good. But still a work in progress. But yes, I have forgiven them. I've comforted my inner child as best I can. We still have conversations and have to remember, because what I'm understanding is it's our mindset that has to shift. When those self-limiting thoughts and beliefs want to spark up, I have the power to be able to counter that and to say that I no longer necessarily live there, that space, that chapter. I don't want to necessarily say, Shannon, that it's closed, but
it will never be closed. It will never, ever,
ever. It's always going to be a part of me. It will always be. But yes, I have forgiven them.
Yeah. And you'll be living your life doing whatever, and you'll be in a happy moment. And you know what? All of a sudden there'll be a trigger. Something will happen. I can tell you right now. Yeah. And then you're like, holy, okay. And it's that acknowledgement brings you back to that time in your life.
Yes. Okay,
you know what? Yeah. I am aware of it. This is what's happened. You get that feeling or emotion that comes in, and then it's like, okay. And then you will continue on with your life. It will no longer be an open wound. It will go to be a scar.
Yes.
It
definitely does that.
Living that journey as well, my friend, living that journey. So now through your whole journey,
yes,
where you are today,
yes,
tell me what it is that you feel that you learned the most from all of that that took place. What is it within you that really sits with you and that you learned?
I have learned to be very optimistic. When I was at my lowest, I felt myself caving in, crumbling, laying in the bed at night, crying. But I go back to that question that I wanted to have an answer from my mother with, how can we say love, but then we have hell and damnation? And so that whole experience taught me that there is a divine creator, and that is sourced from love, that I am love. And even though I was exposed to those experiences and that situation, that I was still protected by it. And a lot of times people will tell me, oh, you know, you're just happy-go-lucky. And I'm like, you don't know my story. And praise has been my go-to, really being able to give thanks for every little thing. And sometimes in life, we're so quick to be celebratory once we've gone through the situation. My situation taught me to be able to praise through the pain, to be able to get up and know that that didn't define me, that it won't stop me from having the future that I was supposed to have, and that I can still love, that I can still be caring, and I'm going to be that comforter and that protector in a sense of others, so that if I can prevent them from having to go through those same hurts, those same insecurities, those same feelings, that became my mission. So I learned optimism.
Mm-hmm. Just listening to you, and you know, some audience members will be listening to the story and they'll be thinking like, oh my God, like that is so foreign, you know, being brought up in a church where, you know, basically it was sexual orgies. It was orgies that had taken place, because we had talked about this, you know, in the meet and greet. And so you were exposed to orgies at a very, very early age, but it's happening out there. It's happening all over.
Yes.
And this, you know, this isn't something that should be swept under the rug. This is something that is very real. Yes. No different than sex trafficking. It's very real, people. And so there are people out there that are going to be listening to this podcast right now that are experiencing exactly what you went through or experienced it and don't know how to deal with it. What advice would you give to those people?
The advice that I would give to you is to be able to tap into you. As difficult as it might be, we have to be able to see beyond the current hurt, the current orgy, the current situation, whatever you might be personally experiencing. This is your opportunity to decide what will tomorrow hold. And even thinking about, because sometimes it's difficult though, Shannon, to even see about tomorrow. Like, I can't even get through this minute right now. And you want me to think about tomorrow? You want me to think about a year from now? You want me to think about 5 years from now? Yes.
Yeah.
That joy. I mean, seriously, being able to comprehend, being able to say, because for me, I kept on getting woke up. Like, so I figured, since you're waking me up, there must be something that I'm still supposed to be doing. So we get to decide, what is our divine purpose? why were we placed on this earth? And we always have to stay grounded and understand that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Oh, so no. I am so much bigger than these small droplets of things that are happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Where are you now, Jakina, in your life?
I am amazing right now.
I know. I'm just looking at you and you're beaming. And, you know, as our interview keeps going on, you know, you're just getting stronger and stronger. Like, if I can feel your energy, I'm just like, I can just sit and just look at you and I could just feel it.
And thank you for that. I mean, mind you, there's still ups and downs in moments, and how you said
yes, there is
triggers. And I have a 3-year-old son, and even for my older children, it freaked me out to let people watch them. Like, I kept them out of daycare. I didn't want them to be exposed to anything because I knew what I had been exposed to. So when they did go somewhere, I was constantly worried. Okay, is this going to happen to them? Is this person safe? I'm always trying to pick up on energies and use my discernment to kind of navigate. But right now I am in a much better place. I feel fulfilled in my life as you are, Shannon. I am a mindset. I know a coach as well for others to be able to help. And when I think about the coaching piece of it, and when we talked about earlier, the therapists are great. I'm not going to
knock it. They are
those that need it, but understanding that the therapist is going to focus on the past. That's it. What was that childhood trauma? How did it impact you? But when you think about that coach, when you think about a life coach, and this is, what does my future hold? Because if I could go back to when I was getting exposed and having orgies and just going through and really more so just giving of my body so freely, if I could go back and erase that, I'm about to say I would, but
you wouldn't be where you are today, Jakina, if you erased it.
Not. So yeah, I am in a wonderful relationship with the best person that is for me. I have my wonderful family, and you know, we have our moments we go through, but for this second marriage for me, communication is so important. The healing, like how you said, going on walks, the journaling, the shadow work, the vision beyond tomorrow. What do we see? And that is going to give us the fuel and the ammunition that makes these things a dull memory. The scar is there, but I'm keeping on pressing towards my future. So right now I am feeling amazing. I'm feeling fulfilled and super appreciative for this opportunity to be able to share. I'm not going to lie to you all in the audience that was difficult, that because I haven't necessarily verbalized it like that. And even during our meet and greet, it felt like it flowed more. And now I'm like, oh, should I tell this? But no, we have to be able to stand in our truth. And yes, it happened. Yes, it was messed up. And if you're offended, oh, well, that's on you. That's your journey. But I know what happened to me. And I was so silenced and all alone. And I just want you all to know out there that you do not have to be alone.
No. And even from the beginning of the interview up until now, like I said, I can really feel your energy, your lightness, stuff like that. But even your confidence is really showing through the screen with me, right? I know too that the audience will hear that too. Okay, so let's get into the final last words. What is it that you would like to say to the audience? Now, you said that you are a coach, and so how about what you say here is what's going to be on the podcast notes. Yes. So your coaching and stuff like that, like let's hear all about that.
Well, you all were able to hear snippets, and there's more. There's going to be a book coming next year to really just go full in detail. But for me, after experiencing therapy and being in my corporate job for 20 years, I was always that encourager, that person that people wanted to come to for advice and to just get what they needed to get. And I decided that I wanted to start my own coaching business called Kena Connects. And it's really about being able to help people connect their life with the purpose that they were ordained to have. Like we all, I feel, we're given an assignment, but it's up to us to decide if we want to fulfill and complete that assignment. I think about Shannon, you sharing with your son about him being nervous, like, I have to take this test. And am I necessarily ready to take this test? So when we think about our lives, this is our test. This is our assignment. And we were given what we were supposed to do. And sometimes because of the suppression, because of all the things that we buried on top of it, we forget our purpose. We forget our joy. We forget what we're supposed to be here doing. And I want to be that supporter. I want to be accountable too, because there's accountability.
You know what? Accountability was the biggest. That is, once you've got the awareness,
yes,
then you have to take accountability and
because
you have to. It doesn't matter what the situation.
Whiteboard. Yes. On my whiteboard, Shannon, I have written, own your life.
Now,
we have to, because I could easily say, well, because I was exposed to that, you know, I can't be great. And that's how I lived for so many years, so many years. That was the mindset. And I didn't want to speak up, but I've been able to, before I had, you know, foreclosures, home foreclosures, repossession, low credit score, no money. It was just so many different things. And that's not the situation. I'm a homeowner now. I have great credit. I have like, but and it's not just those. I don't want anyone to get confused with, you know, it's the material things. No, but we can shift. I didn't have to be defined by the abusive relationship that I was in. I didn't have to be defined because I was a teenage parent. That didn't define me. It gave me the grit and the momentum to say that I want more than this. Like, this can't be my life. And that was the realization that I had, like, God, divine creator, whatever you all want to call him, there has to be more to my life. This can't be it. And if this is it, then I don't want to do it anymore. So that's the biggest piece, is really just taking that time to understand you, to be accountable, and to say, what is the next right choice? What is the next right decision that's going to course correct to get me to where I need to be? And so that was my momentum for wanting to be able to just, in a sense, hold hands. And I really want to work with women. I want to work with women that are at that crossroads, that have the uncertainty, that have experienced the things, have done good with navigating, but need that extra push to just be super phenomenal. That is what brings me joy. That is my assignment.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's like me, working with people that are at the point where they are freaking enough is enough. Is enough. I'm done, but I don't know where to go. That's my clients.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. I need help.
Yes.
All I know is I've got a freaking change and I don't know how to do it. So help me. Perfect. That was such a good interview. You're just so amazing. And I just love you.
You are too, Shannon. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to the listeners out there, like, sincerely, for you even being able to, I mean, you're global and you think about how many different people are experiencing so many things and just the diversity of people that you're putting on platforms that they may not have had exposure to. So thank you for not allowing your past to define you, and I'm just super excited about all the wonderful things that you have accomplished and that you're going to continue to accomplish. And for those people out there that are struggling, that feel stuck, I would just say to love yourself enough to seek the support that you need. It is okay. There are resources. There are people here that love you, that care about you, and have your best interests at heart. And we're one of those.
And that is wonderful. That is wonderful advice to end on. And I want to say thank you for being a part of my journey. Like, absolutely. You are amazing. So thank you. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.